This is Word of Mouth on New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Coming up, eat local, shop local, and invest local, a grassroots movement that values keeping your dollars swimming in small circles. Also, video games arrive with Hollywood-style campaigns to lure the aging gamer. And one thing getting smaller, the tiny house movement defies America's supersized tendencies. We'll also kick off Out of the Shadows, a series of reports on mental illness among kids in the Chicago area. But we begin with digital spying. Multiply 144 characters by the number of people using Twitter worldwide, and you have a dizzying pool of digital information. Now add other social media posts, webcams the world over, streaming information in real time, assorted other digital ingredients. It's just a lot of data. A research arm of the U.S. intelligence community is now looking to gather and translate that floating information to predict political upheavals, conflicts, epidemics, and other global unknowns. Sharon Weinberger is a Carnegie Fellow at Northwestern University's Medill School of Journalism. She wrote about the project for Nature magazine. Sharon, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right, we hear political upheavals, I think Arab Spring, especially of Egypt, where protesters, as we know, organized and reported using the social media tools available to them. Is it safe for us to say that the Arab Spring caught U.S. intelligence by surprise?
You know, it depends who you ask. I think that was certainly the feeling from politicians saying that, we have this tremendous intelligence community, and here was all this tremendous amount of information coming in from social media, and why didn't you forecast this happening? Why didn't they forecast the downfall of Mubarak or the rest of the Arab Spring? So I think any time these sorts of large events happen, there's this idea that there's a failure of prediction and what can we do to make it better?
Hence this project. Unpack for us what it involves. Who's guiding it? What is it going to monitor?
Well, as you mentioned, it's IARPA, which is the Intelligence Advanced Research Projects Activity, which is sort of the far-out R&D arm of the intelligence community. They come up with these sort of new ideas, far-reaching ideas. And the basic idea is you have this, what we have in the modern world is tremendous, you have petabytes of data every day. You have social media like Twitter. You have edits on Wikipedia to current events. You have blogs. You have other microblogs. And then you have, information coming in from webcams that are everywhere, traffic cameras. Is there, and it's too much information for a person to analyze, are there ways that we can sort of trawl through all this data and come up with indicators, and hence the project's name, open source indicators, of a major event that's about to happen, like riot? I mean, to take something, happening today, like the riots at, the student riots at Penn State. And so that's the idea. Can you come up with computer algorithms, some sort of automated way of going through this data and predicting what's going to happen tomorrow, next week, or whatever the time period is?
And that methodology is already being used in other fields, a lot about consumer behavior, for example, outbreaks of diseases, which you write about, and also the financial sector, for example. Is there proven success in predicting any of these outbreaks or predicting the market?
It depends who you ask. So one of the common examples that's given is movies, box office successes. There are a lot of researchers now saying that we can, with, perhaps 90% accuracy, track social media to predict whether, whether the latest George Clooney movie is going to be a success or a flop. And they're claiming very, very high prediction rates with that. There's other examples, the way Amazon takes example of consumer buyer data. People are applying these models to the stock market. Disease outbreaks is another big one. There's Google collaborating with others on, whether people, Googling flu or cold can help predict outbreaks. And there's a lot of claimed successes, but there's also a lot of controversy over just how successful these models are. To give one example, researchers spar about the H1N1 virus, where you have, one group of researchers saying we were able to predict the outbreak long before governments were aware of it. But then you have other researchers saying, well, wait a minute. Your program picked up H1N1, but it also picked up 10 or 11 other threats. And so it's easy in retrospect to say we got it, but maybe you got one of 20. There really has to be a high degree of accuracy for this data for it to be useful to people to act on. And that's the challenge.
Especially if it's coming from citizen media. Of course, we in the journalism field have been looking at this a lot, whether or not it's a reliable source of information. Quantity of data, in other words, can overshadow quality.
It can. can, and it can be deceiving. You can think you're seeing things in the data that you don't see. It's not enough just to know that something's happening. You know, do you know well enough in advance? Do you know with a high degree of fidelity to do something about it? Another thing that people claim they can predict are things like, you know, the Occupy Wall Street protest or attacks, cyber attacks by Anonymous. But how good is your prediction? If it's 60%, 70%, and there are 8 other threats out there, what can someone do about it? It has to be, you know, sort of the term of art is actionable intelligence. You have to be able to do something with the information. And for that to happen, it really has to be pretty close to a crystal ball.
We're speaking with Sharon Weinberger about U.S. intelligence's experiment using Twitter and other digital data to forecast the next hotspots or, let's say, actionable bit of information. I'm thinking of just recently, New Hampshire was hit by a storm that dumped about 2 feet of snow in some areas. Now, this was on Halloween weekend, end of October. This was after a forecast predicting only a few inches. So it makes me wonder, what's to say these models will be any more or less reliable than, you know, something we get from a meteorologist?
Well, that's the ongoing joke. You know, we're as good as the weathermen. And then people say, well, wait a minute, the weathermen aren't that good. Well, you know, the truth is that weathermen are reasonably good. I mean, you can have forecasts of the weather, and they're useful. It's useful to have those forecasts, even if they aren't always correct. So that's the argument for it. You know, if we can be as good as the meteorologists, that's useful, even if it isn't 100%. I mean, if meteorology and weather weren't useful, people wouldn't look at it at all. It's not 100%. I don't even know if it's 90%, but it is useful. Weather is pretty complex, but it's pretty simple compared to the factors in sort of societal level events. I mean, human beings are complicated. The things that influence our behaviors, our voting patterns, are very, very complicated things, and you enter in so many variables. I mean, the old joke is, if these models were so great, you should be able to predict, you know, elections. You should be able to predict presidential elections, congressional elections, but the truth is we can't do that very well. So the more complicated things you look at and the higher degree of accuracy you want, it really gets very, very hard to do.
All right. We have just a minute left. But, I have to ask, what if totalitarian regimes were able to do the same thing? Could they stamp out unrest before it occurs?
Well, that's the argument. You know, in essence, for as supportive as the United States was for a lot of the Arab Spring and for, you know, criticizing governments that were trying to shut down sites like Twitter, trying to shut down social media, in essence, some of what this is about influencing behavior. It's not that the United States government wants to forbid any controls on social media. We want these things to help influence, do what enhances our foreign policy goals, our domestic goals. Yes, the idea is that this gives a tool for government, in this case the U.S. government, to help both predict and possibly influence events. And yes, if you can do it in one country, presumably you can do it in another.
Well, Sharon, I really want to thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Sharon Weinberger, a Carnegie Fellow at Northwestern University's Middell School of Journalism. Her article about a U.S. spy agency using Twitter to forecast unrest appeared in Nature. And you'll find a link to it at wordofmouthradio.org. So stay with us. After the break, the first part of a groundbreaking investigative series on mental illness and youth. Plus, video games take one more cue from Hollywood with big-budget advertising gimmicks. We'll have those stories for you when Word of Mouth returns from New Hampshire Public Radio in just a minute and online anytime at wordofmouthradio.org.